I greet you with blessings today on this fifth Sunday in Lent, March 29th. My name is Pastor Melinda VanderSice, and I serve our Redeemer Lutheran Church and First Presbyterian Church in Newberry. I'm also the administrative interim pastor at Faith Lutheran Church in Sault Ste. Marie. Each Sunday, I would like to offer you a brief service and meditation based on the Word of God. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Take away the fear and anxiousness we have. Fill us with courage and strength to face the days ahead, loving, living, and serving through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading for today is Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, and is a story of the dry bones of Israel brought to life. Our psalm for today is Psalm 130. I wait for you, O Lord. In your word is my hope. Our second reading is Romans 8, 6 through 11, and talks about life in the Spirit. And our gospel reading for today, I will share now. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea now." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this fifth Sunday in Lent. Amen. What a whirlwind we've experienced over these past couple of weeks. In the church and in the community, many have worked tirelessly to keep things moving. We know there is an urgency to help get food to the kids and communities, kids and families in our communities, an urgency to be sure our jobs are secure during this time, or an urgency to fill out unemployment paperwork so that we're able to continue to afford for our necessities, an urgency to check in on our families, our friends, and our neighbors, and an urgency to make sure we, ourselves, aren't hoarding but have enough food and essentials in case further restrictions are necessarily imposed on us. I feel I'm living with a sense of urgency every day. And while I try to remain calm when I speak to others or express a sense of peace in the words I use for the many, many emails I've been sending out. I know there is a bit of anxiousness, of uncertainty in my whole being. In our gospel reading for today from John, Mary and Martha feel that urgency. Their brother Lazarus is ill. They sent a message to Jesus. They expected him to come right away. They loved Jesus, and they knew Jesus loved them just as much. Yet Jesus didn't respond with that same urgency. He intentionally waited. He deliberately delayed going. He didn't rush to be with the family, to be by Lazarus' bedside, to be offering words of comfort and strength. In fact, he stayed away 2 days longer, finally saying, "Okay, it's time to go see Lazarus." Isn't that kind of strange? Jesus, the Son of God, who healed the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, who performed miracles for others by feeding 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, who walked on water, who turned water into wine for guests at a wedding banquet. This kind and compassionate Jesus took his sweet old time going to see one of his best friends. And when he got to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Lazarus was already dead. Not only dead, he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Met with cries of grief, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And I'm sure, why didn't you come quicker? We needed you." Jesus said, "Don't worry. Lazarus will rise again." Easy for him to say. He just showed up on the scene and he took his time getting there. When Jesus saw how distraught Mary and Martha and the crowd that gathered were, Jesus wept. He wept because they were weeping. They were his friends, his family. He felt their pain and anguish. He wept because of their lack of faith. The disciples had reminded Jesus that the last time he was in Judea, he was almost stoned to death. They were living in fear, not faith. He wept because he knew his death was coming soon. He knew that he would die and, like Lazarus, also be placed in a tomb. And even though he knew of his resurrection to come, there was still an extremely difficult path lying ahead for him. Yes, Jesus wept. But then Jesus demanded that the stone be rolled away. And he cried out, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out. He was risen from the dead. A preface of what awaited Jesus himself. Friends, we are living in a time of urgency. We need more masks and respirators and medical equipment. We need a vaccine to prevent the coronavirus from spreading even further. We need a cure. This is urgent. There's no time to wait. And so we cry out to the government, to the local health departments and hospitals and other agencies, to our families, to ourselves. And we cry out to God. Where is God in our cries of urgency for relief of pain and anxiousness, of fear and death? Will there be another delay, such as in Jesus' delaying to see Lazarus? My faith tells me, no. God is always with us. God is with us in our good health and in our illness. God is with us through times of good and times of not so good. God is with us through times of peace and times of war. And God is with us in life and in death. And now, most importantly, God is working even through this pandemic. And so during this time when we cannot gather in our churches to worship, to pray, to hug, to be present for one another in the presence of Almighty God, we are still together in spirit. We are sisters and brothers in Christ. Nothing, not one person, not one thing can change that. As we hear in Romans 8, 38, 39, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even the coronavirus, COVID-19. I continue to pray for you, and I ask that you continue to pray for me. May you find peace in Christ today and always. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen." I invite you to join in a time of prayer. God of life, bind your faithful people into one body. Enliven the church with your spirit and bless the work of those who work for its renewal. Accomplish your work of salvation in us and through us. We especially pray today for those affected by the COVID-19 crisis. Heal where healing is possible. Bring comfort for those in pain. And may the gift of eternal life be upon those who have walked on. You weep with those who grieve. Unbind all who are held captive by anxiety, despair, or pain, especially those we name in our hearts, our minds, and with our voices. Fill us with compassion and empathy for those who struggle, and keep us faithful in prayer. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now I invite you to join in praying the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us always to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit that makes us one. Amen. This concludes our service for today. Thank you for joining me. This is Pastor Melinda Vandersice. Go in peace to serve our Lord. Thanks be to God.